Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's cool for cats, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jimmy Campbell's here.
Hello.
Petey Donaldson's here.
I'm a hero like Robert De Niro.
But Luke Moore isn't.
He's not. He's in America, hashtag travelling around America.
Gonna eat. Is he going across America with Phil Brown?
Yeah. He's on his...
Did you not know?
Wait, who do you think's driving?
Phil.
Yeah. Who's in the sidecar?
Luke's in the sidecar.
Luke's in the sidecar. Like a dog with like those goggles on they wear in Mad Max.
Seriously, Phil, don't go so fast over the bumps, yeah?
Right then, everybody. Let us begin. Jose, a lot of people were onto this. A lot of people knew this was going to be the opening question.
Is that right?
I had it already before any of you tweeted or emailed me.
Okay.
Jose Mourinho said that they need Tom Cruise to win the title this year as it's mission impossible for Chelsea.
Mm. That said, I mean, he's done 5 Mission Impossible films now, which suggests that these are eminently possible missions.
Yes.
Should back himself more.
This time round, he said that at the exact time that I do believe Sky are going to be putting out the new Mission Impossible film. So I think he's on the tick.
Ooh, naughty.
I think Jose Mourinho has been paid by Mission Impossible to promote Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible.
What a sellout, eh?
Damn you, Jose.
I'm,
of course, joking. That would be ridiculous.
Well, I'd like you to answer this then. Which actor do you think could help Chelsea mount a title challenge, Jim?
Well, the thing that, you know, seems to be defining Chelsea's season is that none of it really makes any sense. It's a very difficult thing to work out why they're playing so badly and why things have been going for them as they are, especially compared to last season. And someone who, as an actor, has really made his name by playing characters that can find solutions to impossible questions would be Jeff Goldblum fella. And obviously, you know, they have a lot of top stars, and it's not working, isn't it? So why not slide down to the B list?
Oh, I see.
Outrageous.
I wasn't here for this argument.
And give Jeff Goldblum a go. He could work it all out.
Now I'm a man down on this argument. Now you pounce.
Well, I didn't register
and
my
the questions helped.
I didn't register my interest in this question.
Go on.
And my opinion. B-list, firm
absolutely
B-list.
B-list.
Was A-list?
B-list, no.
No,
never, I was.
Never,
never
A-list.
Of course he was A-list.
How
he was
he A-list?
I'm
Jurassic
Park.
Literally, we got the Footballerama got mentioned on the IGN.co.uk podcast because of this. They agreed,
you're
B-list,
welcome.
Firmly B-list, firmly cult. Hey. And I think Chris Tilley on that podcast made the point that... that Jurassic Park was a film made up of people who had never sort of been A-list sort of thing. So Will
Absolutely.
Smith was the only A-lister in that film.
In
even
Independence
Penny wasn't
Day,
that big.
In Jurassic Park?
In Independence Day, sorry.
Independence Day, but that was his sort of breakout role in that sense, wasn't it?
Sorry, I don't mean Jurassic Park.
I mean
Independence Day. I'm getting Independence Day mixed up with Jurassic Park.
Goldblum was the main man in that film.
No, he wasn't. The dinosaurs.
He was in Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah,
whose favourite film is that?
Yeah. he's not leading a movie. He's currently doing PC World ads. The Fly was a cult hit, a surprise breakout hit. Mate, in an ideal world and in all of our hearts, he's an A-list actor, but you've got to accept it.
Right. What was the Chelsea business?
The Chelsea business was because, you know, Jeff Goldblum's characters generally, the guy in Independence Day, whose name I forget because, you know, he's B-list, and Dr. Ian Malcolm, Professor Ian Malcolm as well, he figures stuff out, doesn't he? When no one else knows what's going on, Goldblum's your man. If you need someone to play that kind of role and actually just work out the solutions to difficult questions, he'll figure out. And in a sort of like bizarre riddle-like way, and he'll do it in a charming way, and that's what Chelsea need: answers and likability.
And his laptop that. Can unlock the Premier League, like it unlocked those alien defences in Independence
Indeed.
Day.
Indeed,
yeah.
Okay, fine.
I've sacrificed the points there, haven't I?
Yeah. I'm going.
Speaking of B-list, Pete Donaldson.
Well, I'm going for a similarly B-list actor that has never been a lead, really. Tim Roth. Who obviously played Sepp Blatter in the FIFA film. So he could change the goalpost almost literally and, I don't know, give everyone a 6-point deduction.
Everybody
or 10-point
be
deduction.
Cool, this is a law change.
Yeah. Everybody be cool, I'm changing the rules of the game. The
Everybody be cool, that's a penalty.
Short title, somebody tell Joel.
Tim
so,
Roth.
Yeah, I'll go for Tim Roth.
Yeah, I like it.
At a push, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. How would that work?
Yeah. I don't know. You just turn up in a DeLorean and go...
And everyone
go,
oh, brilliant!
Marty!
They'd go,
Marty, we're going to play against...
Great
Palace.
They would go back to last season.
Yes.
There we are.
Doc.
All right.
Doc, you're misusing the car, Doc.
Marty, get out of my face. I'll cut you.
Marty! good.
Doc.
Now...
Marcus!
Now, I would go for a man. Jose Mourinho likes to be surrounded by yes men, doesn't he?
Yes.
Correct. Because he wants to be reassured that he's doing the right thing and fed into his ego because he loves being loved. So, therefore, I would go for Frank Nelson. Who's Frank Nelson? I hear you cry.
Who's Frank Nelson?
Who is Frank Nelson?
Who's Frank Nelson?
I cry.
Is it Jeff Goldblum?
Frank Nelson was never A-list. Frank Nelson is the inspiration for the yes guy in The Simpsons.
Oh,
you know the guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
that's
right,
that's
okay.
Frank Nelson. So if you actually worth having a YouTube of old Frank Nelson, because that was his little trademark. So if ever Mourinho's like, oh, you know, because we lost at home to Watford, I've chinned the receptionist or something. Was I right to do that? And he'd just go, yes.
Yes.
And Mourinho would.
They should have made him the face of the Scottish referendum. Everyone would have loved that. So, yeah, when you put it like that.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So I go for Frank Nelson, and then Mourinho would lighten up a bit, the dressing room would be a happier place, and the league would be theirs. It's as simple as that. But because Jim said Jeff Goldblum, then he's got the points.
That's very fair of you, Marcus.
Fair of you,
very bipartisan.
Yeah, Fribbin.
Fribbin. Remini, Tremini.
Right, let's go to the Premier League. Manchester City 1, Liverpool 4.
Yeah.
Possibly the stat of the weekend was that Jurgen Klopp apparently has more away wins against the top four than Brendan Rodgers managed.
Old Rodgers. Old Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers, just the kid you went to school with. He's never managed the game in the top flight at all.
This match was... This is another old actor that you've dug out.
I've had a bad start.
This match was really interesting because I was in a hotel in Leicester, the Hilton in Foss Park, if you must know. And every time I went to the toilet, a goal would go in. It was almost amazing.
Oh, right. Are you taking credit?
Yeah. Why did you... Almost amazing, why the Pete Donaldson story.
Why did you get the toilet five times in 90 minutes?
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm a big Class A drug user.
Like a racehorse, I was going to say. But you went there, Jim.
Yeah, I watched this game and El Clasico at the same time, and it was wonderful.
Well, like Bielsa. Apparently Bielsa, Marcelo Bielsa, sorry to cut in there, Jim, he's trained himself to watch two games at a time, right eye on one, left eye on the other, because he's looking for patterns, you see. Is that what you did?
No.
Okay.
No. I was just in a lovely pub in Dublin, which had multiple screens.
Yeah, like one of those stereograms where you boss your eyes up and you see a unicorn or something.
No, just two different screens, mate.
Okay, good. Right.
It wasn't like a magic eye football match.
Yeah.
Although I'd love to watch that.
Yeah. Hey. Why has someone done that?
You're in the pub, eh?
Yeah.
In the pub, eh?
In Publin, like
the Mercantile in Publin. Get yourself down there.
Recommended.
Go on then, Liverpool. They impressed you, Jim, I'm thinking.
They did. They really did. It was the gegenpress was fully in action, wasn't it? I mean, it was very, very clear that was their plan. Just be more committed in defence, press them really hard, absolutely everywhere on the pitch. And City just had no answer to it at all.
Sanya got done, didn't he, by the game? Oh,
yeah. Sanya got done, but then like Mangala decided to let him off. So, don't worry, mate, got you back here.
That panic just went through the whole team.
I mean, to be fair to both of those players, they were in the Stade de France when the awfulness happened last week, and Sanya said after the game, I wasn't ready. I thought I was.
Really?
And it was playing on my mind. And I mean, you know, for all of the French players, it's tough. For any French person, it's tough. But those guys were in the stadium. I'm sure we've all seen the footage of the explosion or the sound of the explosion, and Patrice Evra looking around just like massively confused. And, you know, fair enough to those players if they're having an off day. But City, just across the board, were just not at the races, were they? They were just not good enough. Liverpool were better in every department.
As soon as Joe Hart had the ball, they were just, like, Lallana was, like, bombing on and just really putting the fullbacks under pressure and stuff. It was really nice to see Lallana working harder off the ball than he did on the ball. It was a real kind of tenacious performance from Liverpool, and it was really nice to see. Though everybody mentioned the gegenpress, just reminds me of Jez in Peep Show buying some second press olive oil. And every time somebody mentions it, I think, oh, you just sound like Jez in Peep Show. It's rubbish. But they've got some really hard workers in the team, Liverpool, and it's nice to see them being used for that reason.
Played in proper positions.
Yeah, and Milner was bossing it in the middle.
Firmino was playing up front, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
And I mean, that's not his natural.
I think he had played some games there for Hoffenheim, but I think it's, you know, that's his first goal for Liverpool, and what's brilliant about that for them is that the amount of time it's taken him to score that, the narrative of that has just been buried in the euphoria of that performance and that result. That's done now, doesn't matter. He and Coutinho linked up superbly, and Firmino and Coutinho is just really satisfying to say. It actually reminds me of sort of towards the end of the season a few seasons ago, when it really looked like they were going to win it, and that sort of euphoria that was about Liverpool and that sense of just joy and fun that they had. It was the same kind of thing, and you know, that's the sort of thing Klopp is bringing, that positivity.
There's nothing better than seeing a smile on that man's face, is there?
That's
really
brilliant.
What I would say is that Benteke is not a natural breaking player for me.
No.
It's just like, oh, just run towards the goal, Benteke. Christ, lumbering.
I like the fact that Kolo Touré got a last minute substitute appearance.
Yeah. Just get all the old City boys.
Hello. Yeah.
Milner as well, just tearing it up on his return.
And
Sterling, wow. Yeah.
It was all about James Milner in some senses. But Liverpool, they were superb. And that was a star-studded lineup for Manchester City, as it often is these days, of course.
It's one of the things, isn't it? Being one of those big teams that spend a lot of money, if you've got loads of players missing through injury, no one cares. It's like, yeah, all right. Yeah. So what? Look how good your squad is.
But obviously the problem is with that pressing style that Klopp deploys, you can only do it for a certain amount of time. But I suppose if you find yourselves 3-0 up in quick succession, then long may it continue.
I mean, they did come back and they looked like the Man City were going to mount some sort of a fight back, but it just kind of fizzled away to nothing. And I think that was just because the back four were just at sixes and sevens, because they were just putting so much pressure on the back four. Like Joe Hart looked a bit lost, to be honest. The way his kicking was a bit like wayward at times, I think.
Yeah. Well, I guess when all of your options are closed down, it makes you second guess yourself, doesn't it? It's like, am I going to go here? Am I going to go there?
And he's a big one for just balling it out to the right back or the left back, isn't he? Yeah. But he just didn't have that option because Liverpool were really working hard, swarming they were.
A worrying trend for City as well, given how well they started in particular, that they've taken a couple of pastings off the bigger sides. Spurs obviously thrashed them, and they were insipid against Man United. So you wonder, is it, you know, are they
with Manchester United
bullies a little bit? Is it the injuries? Are they coasting? What, yeah, what is it?
I think with Manchester United, when you say it's insipid, I understand that, but it was a solid 0-0. They never looked like conceding, really.
So, well, yeah, but, you know, it's a very unambitious game plan.
Well, they're still right up there in the league. They're not top, of course.
No.
But they're still right up there. It's a strange result. I think that the way Liverpool just went at them, it spooked them a bit, didn't it?
Mm.
And when, you know, that can happen. A side can get a few goals in quick succession scored against them, which leaves them quite dumbfounded. Aguero's just come back from injury. It is a strange one, Jim, but that is this season in the Premier League, yeah. Is it not?
It's absolutely.
Because West Ham beat them there as well at home, which at the Etihad, which was a strange result as well. For Liverpool fans, I mean, it must be absolutely marvellous. But it then brings them into that dangerous position of, right, we've just beaten one of the best sides in the league 4-1 away from home. We've seen the start that Klopp's made. You know, it was three draws and then three wins and then a loss, and it was a bit of a mixed bag. Mm. Does that put a bit more pressure on them as they go forward? You know,
yeah, they're in a pretty good position though. Everyone sort of said it's going to be difficult for Klopp. Kind of, he will have to spend some money in January. Will he get it? I don't know. Will he wait till the close season? Because as Alex Ferguson always said, there's no value in the market at that point in just after Christmas and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how much money he gets in the January transfer window. But it's looking against Manchester City, and I know it's just one match. I just think they look really, really strong and really, really powerful and really just busy sure. team.
Skirtle normally nuts the ball in, doesn't he, when he scores a goal? That one was an absolute thunderstorm.
Slammed, wasn't it?
It wasn't that near the corner as well.
No.
It was
just
a nice height. Yeah.
The pace beat Hart, didn't it, really?
Absolutely. Goodness wonderful me. Stuff from the big man. But yeah, so it was possibly probably the result of the weekend, actually, in quite an interesting weekend's action.
Mm.
Spurs 4, West Ham on another 4-1.
Yeah.
Blimey, O'Reilly. The title is on for Spurs, everybody. It's happening.
It's sneaking
top two,
up there.
It's top one or nothing for me. They're doing absolutely marvellously well. Harry Kane, he's scoring lots and lots of goals. Spurs looked very, very good indeed. It was a brilliant performance for Spurs. Although a friend of mine who's a big Spurs fan said that he enjoyed, for example, the home win against Chelsea the previous season.
Mm.
Was it 5-3 or something like that around Christmas time? Because he felt that Spurs, the ball dropped for them a few times against West Ham. He thought that there was a few sort of goals that were not bundled in, but slightly fortuitous. Mm. But then my argument would be they created an awful lot of chances against the team.
How many times have those balls not fallen kindly?
Well,
to them,
exactly.
You know?
Or have they squandered those, you know, not half chances, but almost like two-thirds chances.
In someone like Harry Kane, you've got someone who can just, you know,
just bury those.
Swing a foot at it and get it in the back of the net.
He did scuff one, though, didn't he?
Oh, he did, yeah, gloriously. The first goal, Harry Kane's first goal, was a great example of him just sniffing that out and just being mobile enough to get on the end of that.
Yeah.
He made that into more than the...
He's the new Vardy.
Chance.
He's a sniffer of a striker.
Do you know
sniffer.
What I mean? There's a Teddy Sheringham sort of quality about him that a lot of people have said before, but it's very evident. He just
he's not quite as cultured, though, is he? I mean,
well, he's still
off
young.
The field, or maybe, yeah. But it's good to see him scoring again. But Spurs, goals all over the pitch.
Mm.
Obviously, Dele Alli got a stupid booking. Stupid, but I don't get involved there, and he'll miss the next game. Although Ryan Mason then came on, and you think, oh yeah, he's a good player as well.
Yeah, they've got some depth in there.
They do.
They
really do. It's exciting times, I suppose. The Toby Alderweireld's header was a lovely one, wasn't it?
Just thumped in.
Yeah,
that was Skirtles. It was like they swapped goals.
I mean, Andy Carroll was waiting for it, thinking, yeah, not this should come to. Oh dear.
Ooh.
What's happened there? Carroll looked rather isolated up front for West Ham.
Yeah.
I mean, they were missing Payet, weren't they?
Yes. It was actually, you know what, their approach to the game was similar to Liverpool's, actually. They just pressed hard, worked hard, just be more committed, and the quality will shine through.
Is this the end of West Ham's incredible away form, though? Because they've had a couple of hammerings on the road. Well, not hammerings, but they've not won.
They've been inconsistent, haven't they?
So, yeah.
And Spurs... But this is the type of game that Spurs would normally lose, wouldn't it, against a big rival who were playing quite well. And Spurs put them to the sword. I mean,
it really was a superb
performance.
I mean, I don't know what off the top of my head what the record against West Ham is like, but they really did just thrash them. And, you know, that's just got to be encouraging for Tottenham fans, because they've consistently been the better teams in the games they've played, even those they've drawn. If they can turn a few more of those into wins, and with Harry Kane coming back into form, it looks like they certainly have the firepower to do that.
I mean, it was 4-0 before West Ham scored. It probably should have been 5 or 6,
yeah,
if the truth be told. Although that Lanzini goal was a beauty.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's a glorious thing, isn't it? A meaningless belter.
Yeah. Huntelaar got one for Schalke, was it, against Real Madrid in the Champions League? Yeah. It was like a volley from about 25 yards out in off the bar. You think that should count?
Could I have had that in like the third minute? That would have been well there. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, hey. And more nonsense off the field with the West Ham and Spurs support.
Yeah, it was awful.
Not great to see.
Well, sadly, that's...
In 2015.
Yeah. Mm. Luminek. But a great win for Spurs nonetheless. And they are 4 points off the top. And they are one of the form sides in the Premier League, Jim. Mm. Are you worried, Jim?
No, I'm not.
What, are you sure?
Absolutely not.
Because you look worried. Why are you gripping the desk like that?
Because it's Tottenham.
Spurs. What they do.
This is the season to change it for Spurs.
You saying this means it won't happen.
Can we have it clean, Jim? Can we just say it because it's Tottenham so I can just clip it for the end of the season, yeah?
Because it's Tottenham.
He's that confident.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. There'll be angry Spurs fans that are listening to this, Jim. They'll be knocking down your door when I give your address at the end of the show.
That said, I mean, it depends what you're saying they're going to do, because they have absolutely every chance of getting into the top four this season, as we discussed last week, because, you know, obviously Chelsea are extremely likely to be missing from the usual suspects, so it's going to be probably a shoot between them and Liverpool, you would think. You would imagine Leicester will fall away.
Yeah. OK, well, we'll have a little bit of chat on Leicester and Arsenal as well after this. Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The three's company, but four's a ramble. The Differing Fortunes of Troy Deeney.
An audiobook read by Marcus Speller.
Watford 1, Manchester United 2. When people were going on about this, actually, with Troy Deeney scoring the own goal, firstly, I'm not convinced that the shot was going wide. I thought the shot might have been... I think it would have just gone inside the far post from Schweinsteiger. Obviously,
yeah, but he sort of carried it in on his bum.
Yeah, but it wasn't a howler.
There's a point where it's an own goal,
but
even if it was going in.
It's not poor play from Deeney. It's well done.
It's just really bad luck, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it was a good performance from Watford. It's a shame for them that they didn't get a point. But Manchester United grinding out those results, Jim. They're grinding them, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah. They're second in the league.
They've crept up. We were talking about this the other week. Like, people have just made a habit of writing United off because they're still giddy from that initial season where Alex Ferguson wasn't there. But they're playing their way into form every now and then. Then their form slips and they look a bit boring, but they still win. They're on course.
Could this be when Chelsea won the league doing boring football? That this could be, that they win the league. A bit, not a canter, but just everyone, all bets are off with this 2015-2016.
It does make it really entertaining.
Watford have had a great start to the season, have they not? I mean, okay, they're 13th, but they're 7 points off relegation, and they would have been many people's pick to go straight back down.
But they're sort of playing it in the right way, and they're playing with two strikers up top, and I'm liking that, and I think that's not a lost art in the Premier League. I think a lot of teams are getting a lot of joy out of playing a couple of players up top, and I wish my team, Newcastle, would do that, for example.
just one guy trying to score would be good, isn't it?
That would improve things. It's interesting you say that, Peter, about two strikers. A chap I used to play youth team football for many, many moons ago, and who is the youth team manager for one of the biggest sides in the Premier League now. No coincidence, I think you'll agree. And he was saying, actually, that he felt that people should go back to playing, if they can, of course, to two up front and play maybe a bit more of a tight midfield because... And again, this is a big shout and a theory of his that maybe some people won't agree with, but for a guy who is the youth manager for, as I say, one of the biggest sides in the Premier League, he felt that in the last, I don't know what it would be, 10, 15 years, maybe even slightly longer, that defenders at youth level used to grow up playing against two forwards.
Yeah.
So you'd have two centre-backs against two forwards. So you'd constantly have one man to mark each. Whereas in the last 10, 15 years, maybe a little bit longer, as I say, it's been one man. Mm. So you've had two centre-backs marking one guy. So you're not as perhaps switched on. And he felt that that was one of the reasons why we don't have so many great centre-backs at the moment. I mean, it's perhaps a factor in a number of factors. I'm sure you could write reams of material on all that kind of stuff. But it was an interesting thought. And as you say, Pete, if you have two up front, people aren't really doing that so much anymore.
No, you know, and people are, you're just completely under pressure. Like, you're doubling up the amount of players. And you can't just always rely on your midfielder to score for you, because at the end of the day, they're not on shooting practice every day at training, you know. Have two strikers off and just play. Even if you have to play the big man, small man, you know.
Yeah.
If your team is looking for goals, just go out to try and score them instead of just trying to just bore everyone to bloody death.
Well, that's
it,
right.
It also is one of the joys that younger listeners probably would have missed out on, the duos, like the SAS of Sutton and Shearer and Sheringham and Shearer for England as well. It's still, you know, and Sturridge and Suarez as well.
Cole and York.
Absolutely, all of it. Yeah. All of those.
Colin Beardsley, thank you.
Fair enough. But it is an interesting point, though. And if, because again, it used to be 4-4-2 in straight lines. That was your front two. So therefore, if you put the extra man in midfield, you'd outnumber them and you get a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not like that anymore. It's not a case of, right, let's go for a bank of four across the middle, so you leave yourself exposed there in the midfield battle. Actually, somebody like Kike Sanchez-Flores is a bit of a canny operator. Mm. So he's not just going to play.
Well, exactly. Every football on that field is a lot more cultured than they were 15 years ago.
Exactly.
So they can play their positions a lot more intelligently, and they know who to drop off and who to go pick up the ball. So
So if you can be a bit more crafty in midfield, you actually can have afford to have another one up front.
Absolutely.
If indeed your squad can do that. I mean, I don't want to go off to England in the chat, but I think England, if England play a 4-4-2 diamond, I think we might have
Right, Venables.
Gerrard and Lampard in there. Scholes on the left wing.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a left wing, would it, Jim?
No.
With a diamond.
Leaving a big old hole in the middle.
As you well know. What for Brendan Rodgers?
The left point.
That left tip, if that's such a thing. But yeah, but going back to Manchester United, Watford, though. Man United being linked with Cristiano Ronaldo.
They've been linked with everyone.
They're being linked with Iron Robin.
Yeah.
Iron Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got like a sort of robotic suit of armour.
Iron Robin.
Oh, I see. Well, Arjen Robin, how would you say it?
Iron, but you know.
Iron. Yeah.
I wasn't mocking it. I just enjoyed the way you said it.
Right.
This is just what my voice sounds like.
Marcus just loves an edit point. any excuse to stop and reset. Oh, wonderful.
That's not true at all, you naughty man. Robin did say that he's fell out with Robert Lewandowski recently. Apparently, Lewandowski had a row with Robin on the pitch for being a ball hogger.
Playground, isn't it?
It really is.
You're a goal hanger and a ball hog, and I'm taking my ball home because you're hogging it.
He is a ball hogger, though.
Yeah, he is.
He is a ball hogger.
Lewandowski was asked about this after the match, and he said, "I don't want to say anything. You have already seen it for yourselves." You have said something there.
You've said a lot, in a way.
You've been very clever.
Mm. So it's a funny one, isn't it? A funny link for Man United, because Robin is 31 now.
Yes.
So you wonder how much money they would spend on him, and it's quite short-termist.
Yeah, I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo is an interesting one, because he would cost an awful lot of money, and he's now in his 30s. Okay, he's the best or one of the best players on the planet.
Yeah, and also incredibly marketable, so you've got a real chance of making a huge amount of that money back.
But they've got players in those positions, obviously not to the standard of Cristiano Ronaldo, flipping heck, you know, only Barcelona do. But I'm caught in two minds, because I think, my goodness, wouldn't it be great to see him back in the Premier League? And he could be the difference between Manchester United, you know, winning the league and finishing second, third or fourth. But as you say, it is a bit of short-termism, and they've got a lot of players who are decent in those positions. It was good to see the Memphis Depay score, in a lovely goal, actually.
Yeah,
yeah.
After Van Gaal said, I expect more from him. So you think he's going to come good, because he's still a young man. You've got Rooney in there. Well, okay, he's not performing, but he's, you know, Rooney's still got a bit of life in him. Mata is there. You know, Lingard's coming.
We don't even need to finish this. It'll be Mata that loses out.
Yeah.
It's just what happens to him, isn't
every
it?
Whoever single comes time. In. Ship him out.
Ship him out. But, you know, Lingard is obviously, you know, decent player. You know, they've got a number of options there, and I just wonder if they did bring Cristiano Ronaldo, would it slightly unbalance the side?
Well, I think he'd be caught in two minds. Does he destroy the legacy that he had under Alex Ferguson? Mm. And I think if Alex Ferguson possibly was still at Manchester United, he would definitely move, you know, in a heartbeat. But you also sort of think he does like to be Johnny Hero Pants. And I think it would be great for Real Madrid. Bale could probably get a bit more time and a bit more, a bit more focus, and you could sort of build a team around him.
Yeah.
And Cristiano Ronaldo would probably enjoy being the hero again. So it's difficult, isn't it, I guess? But again, Manchester United, I think they turned over like a ridiculous amount of profits. It got announced this month, the biggest that any football team has ever turned over in history. Wow. And it was like 500 million in a year or something.
Get him in.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's chump change for them, unfortunately. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
But I think it's interesting what you say about how, you know, whether Ronaldo would look at... whether or not he might tarnish his reputation. I don't think Ronaldo thinks like that at all. I don't think he even considers the possibility that whatever his next move will be won't be an absolutely massive success. And rightly so, because he's such an incredibly, rarely gifted player.
Yeah. Sorry, Jim.
But yeah, the Robben thing is interesting because he wants out of Bayern now, according to reports. And the talk is that that move will happen in January.
So wait for the window, mate.
Will they get him for 6 months and just like stick him on the bench like when Ronaldo comes in if they can afford to do that? Who knows?
He'd probably just automatically injure himself as soon as he gets
just on the plane. DVT.
Get him off the plane then. But I go just briefly back to Ronaldo before we move on. I know it's ridiculous to say, oh, should they go for him or should they not? But, you know, the aforementioned reasons, just before anybody tweets me saying, no, I can't believe it. So there we are.
No.
Newcastle 0, Leicester City 3.
Oh. What a fine performance at St James's Park in front of all us paying
people. reminded me of the game, I think we mentioned it on the preview show, when Newcastle beat Leicester 4-3, although Newcastle didn't score 4 goals.
No. Crash barriers were not erupting and breaking down. Advertising hoardings were not coming down with excitement.
It's been a while and you can't see those days ever coming back.
Yeah, it's November and they've given up. Why is that? They genuinely don't look like they're even trying.
Yeah. The Stepping Storm Club, like, because I think players like Sissoko didn't get their move last season.
Yeah.
They were just like, right, I was told this was a Stepping Stone Club, and if he can't get a move, what's the point in trying? Right, fine. I'm shutting up shop.
I'm just abandoned in a lake on a stone. There's nowhere to move.
It's dreadful. Dear.
We better mention Jamie Vardy equaling Ruud van Nistelrooy's record.
Yeah, offside for me, Ruud.
Outrageous. Outrageous. What a goal it was.
It was. Beautiful, beautiful snapshot.
Get
lovely
him on the plane.
He's got some pace at times, hasn't he?
He really does. He's a fine dribbler.
I mean, against Colaccini, admittedly. Colaccini and Anita couldn't get hold of him. But
he also has very, very good control at pace.
Yes,
How he keeps just smashing them in like he does. But he had cryotherapy, didn't he, in the week?
What's that?
Which is where you're sort of like
frozen
a little bit frozen.
Yeah.
And apparently it speeds up the healing time.
Big Sam's
for certain
a big
injuries.
Fan.
Oh right.
Yeah.
I think perhaps the thought process behind that was Vardy's obviously desperate to get that scoring record. Fair enough. Away to Newcastle. The next game was against Manchester United. They thought, this is the chance.
I could just see the FA's dubious goals panel just laying in wait.
Oh, let's not give it to him. Let's find a way to not give it to him if he gets it. Let's give it to Troy Deeney.
They are the misery panel, aren't they? The dubious goals panel.
Oh, would you not like to do a shift for them?
Yeah, only because I'd just be stupid and go, he didn't score that. Diego Maradona scored that.
Yeah.
And he's 53, Pete, yes.
I'm giving that to Brian Penis. Yeah.
And what? The shift would be an hour long and you get 20 grand for it as well. So that'd be great.
Allegedly. Probably.
Sorry, and a massive lunch.
Yeah. I was going to say, don't do them a disservice, Jim. They pay much better than that. But yes, Leicester, all over the place. They're top of the bleeding league.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful.
Now, that's a team that can afford a bloody cost, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's me.
Take the rest of the year off, boys.
But they're just playing so solidly well across the board. Wes Morgan's a great example. He was one of those players who came in last season. He actually started last season quite well, and there were times where it's like, oh, I don't know if he can cut it. I don't know if his decision-making is good enough. He sometimes gets caught for pace. But now he just looks like an absolute rock.
Yeah.
And they've all stepped it up together.
That's
they're
right.
Riding this crest of a wave. And it's just so impressive to see.
It was such a change for management style from Pearson to Ranieri.
Yeah.
But a lot of people questioned that. And, you know, I'm sure people in this very studio and those who are in America who are normally in the studio questioned it. And fair enough. But obviously the different temperament, whatever's going on, it just works. I mean, sometimes in football you can't explain things. Not to say Ranieri's not doing a good job. He obviously is, but My goodness, a happy camp is obviously a successful one in this case.
It's all that pizza.
It's all that pizza.
It's the motivation of being allowed to have a pizza as a professional footballer. That must be so great. If you take your fitness seriously, you probably don't eat that much pizza. Yeah, and as we all know, pizza is one of the greatest achievements of the human race.
That's right. That's why a certain Arsenal player offered pizza to Sir Alex Ferguson that time.
He certainly did.
Get
this in your goal, Fergie!
Did you see Azor's goal?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Lovely, wasn't it? All just, that time, just stand at the back post.
He just sort of
Colaccini marking no one. It was brilliant, wasn't it? Brilliant. Fantastic.
Just flopped towards the ball.
Just flopped. Like a salmon. Not good. But I have got tickets for...
Oh, you do?
Newcastle versus Crystal Palace, or rather Palace versus Newcastle. Yeah. That's my derby. The Donaldson derby.
Yeah.
Saving a good performance for that match.
Embarrass them.
Wonderful news.
Embarrass them.
Going to be down to Crystals afterwards if you win?
If we win. Oh,
that's a shame.
God, I'm going to save a residence.
If Newcastle win, we'll see you at the bar.
You just steam in there going, fucking the tide is over.
Oh, I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
Get some body paint for a Newcastle strip, seriously.
Yeah, I could get on the telly, couldn't I?
You could.
Yeah.
You would get on the telly.
I would.
Are you going to wear a football ramble thing on there?
I'm not going to wear a shirt. I never wear a shirt in the football.
It's a Newcastle thing.
I was going to say, they're in London, mate. The tropical southeast.
No, yeah. I mean, he's an away supporter.
Of course he is.
Unless you're at Fulham, and it's the neutral end for me.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. West Brom, a.k.a. Tony Pulis 2, Arsenal 1.
Still can't beat him.
No. Even Pulis said, yeah, we got a bit of luck today.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah. They can't. He is Arsenal's bogeyman.
He absolutely is. As you've said before, he looks like an angry snowman, which is exactly what you would think a bogeyman would look like.
Yeah.
He knows how to just put it up Arsenal, doesn't he? We've been saying throughout the...
Shove it up Arsenal.
Absolutely, yeah. And then just sort of be really humble afterwards, but also at the same time be massively gloating.
Yeah.
And fair enough, because he's
beaten
a
Arsenal.
Number. Yeah. And we've said a few times this season, like, Arsenal have had these calamities in the Champions League and in the Capital One Cup, but it's not been into the league, and this is it. Santi Cazorla's penalty, right? Which was a sub penalty anyway. So bad. I think this was missed at the time, because everyone was just, like, baffled by how bad the penalty was. It was so bad, he actually gave away a free kick for kicking the ball twice.
Oh, dear. He was unlucky.
He was unlucky. I mean, it slipped, didn't he?
He clearly didn't mean to.
Of course he didn't.
One of those shots where you hit it off your foot and it really bamboozles the opposition player. Yeah, it wasn't like that. Jim, big news. Ibrahimovic is being linked to Arsenal.
Big rumours.
Big rumours.
I'm dubious about
that
this
story.
That
I want you to comment on.
Okay.
Well, he's supposed to have said, there were no quotes in the paper, he wants to work with Wenger and move to England before ending his career in MLS.
Yeah.
His contract runs out in June. He's 34.
Let's be sensible about that.
No.
And think that, last week, I mean, literally a few days before this, he said, the time for me to play in England has gone. So we've done sensible.
Yep.
Let's just fast forward to how absolutely amazing that would be. Just to have him anywhere in the Premier League.
Yep.
But if he played for Arsenal, even if it was an absolute disaster, and it should work for every reason but didn't, I would just enjoy it so much.
It'd be different class.
Imagine being able to cheer Zlatan for your own team. No Englishman has ever been able to do that.
That's true.
This is the time for Arsenal to abolish that wage cap. And go all out because he'll need a big signing on fee.
Yeah, he would, but he'd be available on a Bosman, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And like we said, like Zlatan, you know, he's 34, but he looks no different from how he did like even 4 or 5 years ago.
Because he's always been lazy.
He's never been part of his game.
He can still do those high kicks.
Exactly.
He can still
boot
one of his own players in the face. So
yeah,
it's fine.
I wonder who it is who's going to get that treatment if he does rock up at Arsenal.
Cazorla.
Yeah.
It's pretty horrible.
No, he would miss him.
Would be awful, wouldn't it? It'd be like someone kicking a puppy.
Let's not think about it.
Yeah. Coquelin's out, so...
Yeah,
actually, bring in one of your Spurs comment will come back to haunt me, because he's going to be out for months.
Bring in one of your reserve defensive midfielders.
We've got Flamini, saving the world.
Okay.
Callum Chambers, another option there.
Chambers is a good player.
Well, I'll come in with an early highlight of the week from Mark. Mark I says, the so unexpected injury to Francis Coquelin and the collapse of Arsenal season circuits.
Yeah. It was so bad that Mikel Arteta came on to replace him and then came off about half an hour later, also injured.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Swansea drew 2-2 with Bournemouth. There was big talk that Gary Monk might have lost his job and they've lost that. They were 2-0 down. I was fearing for Monk. What a lovely goal. Yeah, the second one was Bournemouth.
But it's still a bit of a terrible terrible result, though, isn't it? Drawing at home to Bournemouth, you can't score.
Yeah, but I mean, I know, of course you're right, but 2-0 down and then coming back to 2-1, at least there's a little bit of character there from the
but
side.
Isn't it weird that Shelvey's getting a chance for England in a season where his team aren't doing very well?
Well, yeah. he saved the day, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did. You know what? There was a really amazing start match of the day. That's his first goal of the season, obviously, and that's from 31 shots.
Yeah, it was that, wasn't it?
It's incredible. And actually, Andre Ayew as well displayed one of the most dynamic pieces of football I've ever seen when he fouled himself to win a penalty.
not the lovely back heel goal.
No, not that.
Or off, Marcus.
Or off, everybody. Yeah, well, I'd like... It's a shame for Monk. I mean, he was being talked up massively at the start of the season. Rightly so. They're having a good time of it. When you hear about rumours of him losing his job, you think, oh, dear.
Yeah, no, hopefully that is just that. Swansea don't seem like a club that make a rash decision like that.
That is absolutely right. Now, at the time of recording, Crystal Palace are playing, so we won't talk about them directly, but we will say that the big news concerning the club is that the man has been arrested on suspicion of trying to punch Palace's bald eagle, American bald eagle, called Kayla. The incident was alleged to have happened in September against Charlton in the Cup, and the bald eagle's been the mascot since 2010, flies around the ground before kickoff before every home match.
34.
That's mental.
34 years old.
What is
old,
happening in football? People trying to punch animals and birds, Pete. I mean, well, you're the
imagine,
sort of go-to
can you
guy with this.
Sort of being like just being up on an eagle punching charge. It's not how you want to live your life, is it? Really? Like, we all get excited.
Genuinely, imagine that you go to prison for it. Probably won't be a long sentence. Like, what are you in for? I punched an eagle.
Well, that's what you
do. Didn't even do it. He tried.
First day in prison, you hit the biggest eagle in the room.
Yeah,
that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Send a message.
Well, I think do you know who the eagle is?
Yeah,
the Kayla is the eagle from the front cover of Only by the Night by Kings of Leon.
Really?
So that eagle has clearly achieved more in its life
than that man,
even though it's an eagle.
That is incredible. But the fact is, the eagle's flying around the stadium. The last thing I would
do... It's bold, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is bold, Jim. The last thing I would do if an eagle's flying around with its big talons out...
Its big talons.
...is thinking, oh, I'd love to punch that.
I'm going
to
chin that birdie bird.
How dare that bird get higher than me? You know, that's the last thing I'm thinking.
Take that, you flying monster.
Yeah, you beaky knob. Oh, dearie, dear. We're going to talk about the classic after this. Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The streets company, but fools
a ramble. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Don't forget the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365 coming at you on Friday mornings. We got our bet of the week wrong, didn't we, Peter?
Yes,
we were close. We were very close.
We were very close. I mean, it was Dele Alli to score at any time and Spurs to win. We got one, we didn't get the other.
Yeah. Hit the bar.
So close. He did hit the bar, yes.
Well done, Dele Alli, for ruining charity.
So make sure you listen to the preview show on Friday.
Yeah, there we are. Now.
And gamble responsibly.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
Punch eagles responsibly. And gamble responsibly, guys.
And also, we should clarify that punching eagles responsibly just means not punching eagles.
Yeah. Keep your eagle punching to video games.
Use your fists responsibly. Now then, let's go to the league where the classic happened between Real Madrid and Barcelona. Barcelona were ruddy magnificent.
Absolutely rampant.
Oh, my, vintage stuff.
God, Real just looked so disconnected and just they had absolutely nothing for it. You know, Isco got applauded off.
He did.
When he got sent off just because he looked like he cared.
Yeah, because he hacked down Neymar, got a straight red. Yeah. I think the Real Madrid supporters were a bit like, well, at least there's a bit of fight there.
Yeah.
It was absolutely extraordinary.
You know, like, the Clásico is in danger of kind of losing its meaning a little bit because in recent years, Barcelona have had a few of these where they've absolutely thrashed them. You know, it's quite a while ago now, but there was that 6-2. I think, has there been a 5-0 in there as well?
You are going back a few years.
They've won, I think, 10 of the last 15. They've dominated it.
Oh, but it's still a great fixture.
Of course it is, but Real Madrid have got to be looking at that thinking, well, this is becoming routinely embarrassing. What are we going to do about this?
But when Barcelona turn it on, they're the best side in the world to watch.
Absolutely.
So you're always going to get amazing entertainment.
Real Madrid, because of who they are, because of their status, because of that rivalry, they cannot accept that.
No, I know.
You can't be part of that club and just go, oh, well, sometimes their rivals are just that much better than us. Let's not try.
No, but the point was, though, will it lose its appeal? And I was saying, no, it won't.
No, I'm not saying its appeal, but it's sort of... It may lose the sense that... It could go either way because it doesn't feel like that now.
I thought you were suggesting that like the Real Madrid president Florentino Perez like owns the television company.
No, I was watching it this year. The Clásico is such a big game and such an appealing fixture because it could go either way.
Yeah,
but in theory,
true. But you're watching the biggest match in the world.
Yeah,
and it will always be the biggest match in the world unless Spurs can.
What happened to you?
I don't know.
Is Paul Ramble like slipping you some money or something?
He might be. He might well be. Luis Suarez, one of the best. He's one of the best finishers we've probably ever seen. And often his game, you talk about him, his whole game, how brilliant he is and wonderful, blah 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 blah. And sometimes you forget to kind of look at the more detailed aspects of what he does. His finishing is super. Bloody perk. It's all different types of finishes in that game. The one of the outside of the right boot, which was an amazing passing move, which he finished off superbly well. Such a hard skill to do. His second, where he just went in on the keeper, took all the time in the world, bearing in mind he's away at the Bernabeu and defenders are bearing down on him and he's just waiting for the keeper to fall on his backside and then just knocks it over him. He's just brilliant. And to throw in another couple of memorable ones, one certainly was against England when he ran through on goal, smashed it past Joe Hart in the World Cup.
But he runs at players.
He
and
does.
They don't know what to do.
Well, Rupert Fryer...
People don't do it anymore. That's the thing. Again, it's another act or art lost from the game.
Yeah. Well, Rupert Fryer, obviously a friend of ours and the world respected journalist, he said something quite brilliant about Luis Suarez, that Suarez, it's almost like he looks at defenders as if they're an utter inconvenience.
Yeah.
And he just runs
just
through
the training cone.
Just a fleshy training cone. Get out the way and let me do this brilliant piece of skill.
It's like he's late for a train in a busy station and he's got to get this ball into that net.
Yeah, you're damn right.
He makes every point in his game and every minute of the game, he seems to make the right decision.
Yeah.
And I think that's
apart from when he bites somebody.
Well,
when he gets it wrong, he gets it spectacular.
There was a great example of that side of Suarez's game in the match where Rafael Varane tackled him. Didn't look like a foul to me. Suarez dived, kicked Varane on the way down and just picked up the ball as he hit the ground to basically just give himself the free kick. It's like, he's cheated three times there and hasn't even been fouled.
There is that side of his game.
Did he get the free kick or didn't he, Jim?
He did.
The right decision. The right decision three times.
Yeah. I mean, the other finish I was going to say, which was possibly my favourite one, was when he nutmegged David Luiz in the Champions League away to PSG, through on the goalkeeper, stuffs it in the top corner. No need, you dirty boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just wonderful. He is so flipping good. And I think Lewandowski's taken a bit of the limelight when we talk about strikers, and rightly so this season. But Suarez, for
me, they share it out though, don't they? He's sort of understandable.
Just he never ever looks like missing when he's in front of the goal. He's so clinical.
And so few players have that.
Out of the three kind of forward players between Messi and Neymar and him, he's like the least marketable. And so people kind of forget about him a little bit. It's kind of like, oh, he's wonderful.
It's no wonder that Barcelona waited so long, paid so much money, even though he had that great big ban, of course, off the back of the World Cup. They were like, no, he's a Barcelona player.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the greatest forward lines in the history of football. It's not unreasonable to say.
Drink it in, people.
But they're such a great team again. And they've got Alex Vidal and Arda Turan to come as well in January. It's easy to forget. They actually did sign some players in the summer.
They brought Messi on at 3-0.
I believe that's known in the trade as a cigar substitute.
Yeah.
A cigar substitute is a vape, Marcus. It was a vape. It was an e-cigarette.
Indeed. Yeah, very true. Very true.
Bravo had a great game. So he made 8 saves. Not like Real didn't have their chances. It's just Barca
thing about Real, though, because all of like their cigar substitute players, their champagne players, they were all excused international duty for various reasons. Neymar was back from Brazil 2 days before.
Suarez had been
Rakitic
away.
Was crocked. Iniesta was hurting as well. Mascherano was carried off in the first half. So there's no real excuse for my money. Everyone was rested.
Benitez is under so much pressure now, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Perez has backed him. He has backed Ancelotti. Yeah, he's backed him for a bit.
Somebody on Twitter said that's
what he said.
That is sacking your manager 101.
He said, yeah, we back him, but you know, who knows what will happen in 6 months? Deary me. Jeez. That Iniesta goal. We've got to get a bit of a mention for that Iniesta goal. That was vintage. That was like under Guardiola sort of stuff. That was absolutely different class. Yeah, it's fair to say Benitez got his tactics wrong. He brought Benzema back into the side after he missed 6 games.
For an unspecified reason.
Yes, absolutely right. And Benitez, he's been accused of being a bit too defensive, and he played quite an attacking lineup in that game. And there was a huge gap between Kroos and Modric and the attacking midfielders. People were saying it was surprised he didn't play Casemiro, or even, I know it's not the most cultured of decisions, but just putting Pepe as a destroyer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know. My goodness.
Just rolled over. Got their bellies rubbed.
Yeah, they did. I think former Barca and Brazil player Rivaldo was there, and he was saying that Zidane should be given the job. And you think Benitez is still in the job, Pepe?
Yeah, well, actually, that's pretty much what Perez has said, isn't it? Benitez is there till we can find someone else. Yeah. I mean, you know what? This gives Mourinho an exit strategy. It was only a week or so ago he was talking about how he would be open to going back to Madrid at some stage in his career.
I'm not sure they'd be open to him going back. But the ace up Mourinho and Benitez's sleeves is that there isn't too many candidates, is there?
No,
to come in.
God, can Perez just start doing it himself? That's what we all want. This is surely where this is all leading.
Oh, dear.
I would like to see Zidane in a dugout, though.
Oh, yeah.
That would be beautiful.
It would be.
It would be a nightmare, and it wouldn't work, but it would be beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. But it was funny, wasn't it, when Pique was so annoyed at the end of the game when Munir shot wide. Munir should have scored. Imagine that, they'd have beaten 5-0.
But that happened under Mourinho, though, didn't it? Remember?
Not the Bernabeu. We had 6-2. Yeah. I can't remember if that was under Mourinho or not.
I remember we were around Andy Brassel's house watching it.
We certainly
and
were.
And his girlfriend? Wife?
Wife.
Made some delicious food. Some delicious Spanish food.
Yeah.
So there we go.
I think actually Mr. Brassel made it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's me being stereotypical about women.
Yeah.
How rude.
They're both good cooks. Yeah. All right, if you're listening, Andy.
The Brassels. Brassels Brasserie. Yeah. Let's get it opened.
No, we called it El Brassico, if I remember
right. That's right, yeah.
We certainly did. But Pique was waiting and he wanted Munir to leave it, and obviously he didn't. And Pique was fuming.
I love that.
Because they were giving him pelters. If he'd have scored, that was the only thing for me. Yeah. I wish he'd have scored.
It would have been great.
He'd have been away.
I mean, 4-0 is a battering, but 5-0 is
a bit more.
It gets exponentially worse, doesn't it, the more you concede. Like 5-0 is worse than 4-0 by more than one goal's value.
especially if PK scores it as well, because he looks like a man who belongs in inflatable form on a garage forecourt. Yes. He kind of looks like one of those
guys. They love them at Barcelona.
Even I scored.
They like them at Barcelona. We've seen them at the Nou Camp, and they obviously hate them at Real Madrid. Atletico Madrid also won, which means Madrid dropped down to third. A bad weekend for them.
Didn't like that one.
Didn't like that one. Let's go quickly to Serie A. where Juve beat Milan 1-0. Juve up to six. They're turning it round slowly, aren't they? Lovely goal they scored. It was all about the skill from Pogba in the build-up.
Mm.
Lovely little piece of skill there. It's weird to see Juve and Milan and you think Juve just go up to six and you think, oh, used to be top two, that. Mm. Used to be top two. Yep. Football changes, yeah, though. Yep. And Mancini is Inter Milan side, or Inter side, sorry. They're not called Inter Milan. They are top of the league. Mancini fell over. Did he not? It's a lovely fall.
One of the most gifted footballers of the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, probably one of the best number 10s that Italy have ever had.
It's a long time ago, the 90s, though. You forget. A friend of mine makes a really great point about this, is that the 90s are now as long ago as the 70s were in the 90s,
yeah,
which seems really weird. But then you see things like that and you go, yes. Yes, time has kept relentlessly marching on.
It's true to form. Yeah. Time is true to form, if nothing else. My giddy aunt. Shall we go then to the highlights of the week with Pete Donaldson?
Let's do that. I mean, you know, I've got to get my sheets out where I printed out all the highlights. Here we go. I guts them. Thank you, everyone who got in touch. Nick Playfair says Steve Keane bouncing back by winning the Singapore League title. Needless to say, he's had the last laugh.
Oh, and that's the real quiz. Well done, Keane.
He's
back on the horse.
His team aren't even in Malaysia, which is quite aren't even in Singapore, which is quite exciting.
It's a tiny place.
Yeah. Weird. Niall Norton says Man City's mascots are all looking for a high five from Colo while gleefully asking, are you Yaya's brother? Colo was loving it. Martin says Ander Herrera going absolutely bonkers at the last minute United goal on Saturday. Did you see this?
Oh, I didn't see
he
that.
He was
one.
Like a caged hen that had just been, I don't know, set on fire. It was just going up, running up and down
the small bit
of the dugout. Just got like banging on the sides. Yeah. Oh, he had gone mental.
Committed to the cause, mate.
He really was. Michael Hayworth is highlight as the Brecon goalkeeper turning out at Stenhouse Muir ground when it turns out it was a home game. Good. Al Wilkie, I bought an advent calendar. It was a Milky Bar one. Mark says, we've already done the unexpected injury to Francis Coquelin. Ewan Rowe, only got a few more. Coventry scoring 4 goals in 10 minutes to go top of the league. Top 6 finish since 1972 is on the cards. Kev Sims says, Brighton now 17 games unbeaten. A year ago, we were in the relegation zone. Could we see Brighton in the Premier League?
It would be quite great. Fantastic. They've got to start turning some of those draws into wins, though.
Bobby Zamora scored again. He could be back in the Prem.
Yeah, true.
Get him on the plane.
Taylor and Bestie, I presume this one's at Taylor and the Bestie. John Carver on Match of the Day 3, just because. That's the first time I've ever watched Match of the Day 3.
It's a coincidence.
It was Aluko, and I can't remember who else was on the panel, but it was just like, what the hell is going on here? Why? They haven't got any footage to play. They'd show little snatches of the match afterwards and like the press conference and stuff. And
it's not a bad show.
It's got John Carver on it, Marcus.
Well,
crying out
loud. It doesn't normally.
No, it's true. Andrew Davidson, getting to see both Shawla and Heskey up front in 2015. What dreams are made of? #. And finally for now, David Hogg in East Kilbride, Scotland. I played in my school's Young Performer of the Year and I messed up the solo to Iron Man. Liverpool winning was quite a good result as well.
Maybe his version was Iron Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done, Jim.
Finally for now, one final one. Shandy says, Le Shandy on Twitter says, Gateshead mascot, a giant goat man, beating the Metro Gnomes in a 60-metre race at halftime against Halifax. Wonderful.
Wow. Yeah, lovely.
Thank you for those.
You can't argue with that. Let's have a website roundup, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'll do the website roundup because Luke isn't here. So this week, the always excellent Kelly Wells brings us news of Partick Thistle's terrifying range of Christmas gifts. I'm sure you can imagine what they're based around. The strange tale of the lady who dressed up as a generic man but actually very specifically became Carl Jenkinson, and Brisbane Roar's Jamie Young making a goalkeeping mistake so odd it looks like he's discovered a black hole between his legs.
That's
so
very strange.
Very, very odd. A strange quirk of physics. So that's all over at thefootballramble.com. Get yourself over there.
Yourselves there.
My highlight of the week is definitely we just had the final score in the Palace Sunderland match. Palace have been beaten by a North Eastern team, hopefully 2 in 1 week.
Oh, wow. Has it come to this? You're celebrating Sunderland victories over Pardew.
While Fat Sam's on the telly. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you supported Big Sam over Pard.
Yes, I would. God, what have I become?
It's true.
You've been in that London too long.
What a horrible sewer man I've become.
When you've got a common enemy, it's surprising you'll jump into bed with. Petey, what about the 4-4 Tunes business?
4-4 Tunes, the lovely lad Dean at 4-4 Tunes, that's 4-4-2 O-O-N-S, for Tunes. See what he's done there. Mm. He did a wonderful video of our opening question for last week. Probably won't do it this week, so opening question, because it's a bit haphazard, let's say, yes, and very very B-list heavy.
Don't box him.
Very B-list heavy. But yeah, he did a great version, a rendition visually of me grating cheese on Ronaldo's... Ronaldo's abs.
Tum-tum.
Beautiful.
Get on his tum-tum. Have a look at it.
Have a check it out. YouTube.com/football ramble. But you can find 44Tunes over at YouTube.com/44Tunes. And he does loads of cartoons right throughout the week. I think it's his main job, isn't he? He just does cartoons all the time. Yeah. Amazing.
What a world we live in.
What a dude. What a dude. See, thank you, Dean, for that.
He's playing two up front.
He is. Bringing it back with Dean.
If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And of course, the website is thefootballramble.com. You know about Facebook. You know about Instagram.
Yeah, mate.
You know about all that, mate. Mm. Right. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And it's cheerio from myself.
This weekend on Absolute Radio on Rock and Roll Football from 1:30, we're going to be following Villa, who desperately need a win against Watford. The home side haven't won in 12 or at home all season. John Champion, kick-by-kick commentary on Absolute Radio at absoluteradio.co.uk. Join him from 1:30.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And join them for the match at 3 o'clock. All right. Love you. Bye.